You are aware of things that are happening and things that are taking place. Next week, we do have a water baptism service and welcoming new members. Afterwards, we are having a church dinner. And if you haven't got a chance to sign up yet for the chili bake-off, we want you to do that, okay? And then if you want to participate, if you have guts, I can't do this. But maybe some of you like hot food. I don't like hot food, spicy hot food. But we're going to get up to 3 million skulls. And so if you like hot food, 3 million skulls is pretty high on the skulls chart. Me, I'm down at zero. Anything higher than that, I just can't stomach. But we are having a hot wing challenge as well. The last time we did this was very interesting, but we did have a winner. Colleen Gregory was our winner, and she did a great job on that. So I'm going to pass around the clipboard for you to sign up if you want to be in the chili bake-off, okay? And we'll start down here, Joe. Sign that if you want to be in the hot wing challenge as well. All this is going to take place after church next week, and that'll give you a week to recover after you indulge in eating hot wings. But it's going to be a great time that we get together. The church is going to provide hot dogs, course buns, and beans, baked beans, and macaroni. I think I got, and chips, and water, and stuff. So we're doing all that. No one has to bring nothing. If you want to participate in the soup or the chili cook-off, go ahead and sign up. I'll bring your chili in that way. I'll bring my chili, which is white chili, and which, if you ever had white chili, is just a very sweet Italian sausage with lentil beans and some type of al fresco thing. Now, I say I'm going to make it, but you know who's going to make it, right? My wife. She's gonna make that, but that's my favorite, and I'm going to bring that. So that way, there'll be some there for people to eat that doesn't like spicy things. But we're looking for a great time next week to get together. A good way just to have fellowship and have some fun in that way. And trust that you'll participate in that. The second thing, if you want to take the defensive driving course, it's going to be held here next week at the church from 9:30 to 3:30. And it takes 4 points off your license if you got points. But if you don't have points, it will take 10% off your liability insurance. If you have a car, and it's a good additive to help you drive down your insurance rates this year. But you do got to register online because it's paid through the organization who's doing that. So those are the two things I just want you to be aware of this day as we continue on in our service. I think I covered everything. Today we're going to finish off the book of Joshua. Over the past 6 months, I've been talking about the book of Joshua, covering different things in the book of Joshua. But today we're going to finish off the book of Joshua. And I want to talk to you about Joshua's people. Remember, remind, and recommit. Joshua's people. Remember, remind, recommit. We're going to stand and reading the word of the Lord this morning, Joshua chapter 24. If you have your Bibles open, you can follow along. But if not, the words will be up on the board behind me. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 18. And it reads, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you," and I say to you today, if it's undesirable for you, this is what Joshua is saying. "If it's undesirable for you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." You got to serve something. You got to serve something. You're either going to serve the gods of your forefathers that served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land we are living. But as for me and my what? Household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answer, maybe we can read it together. "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods." It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and along all the among all the nations and through which we are traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for this time that we can get together and we can remember and we can be reminded and we can make recommitments. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to do a work in our hearts to carry through the theme of our song service now into the theme of the sermon as we end the book of Joshua. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit is saying this day to this church at this time in its history. And we pray your blessing upon all those that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The older I get, I realize my memory tricks me sometimes. Now, I can remember the address, and I can vaguely remember the phone number where I live, where I grew up, when I was 5 years old. I grew up on 13 Philpot Ridge, Danbury, Connecticut, 06810. Our phone number started with 203, and that's all I remember. Do you remember any more, Paulette? There you go. You did pretty good. 744-7667. We can remember years ago where we grew up and our phone number, and that's my sister, by the way, and her husband, Nikki, visiting with us. But at times, I can't remember my grandkids' names. And I don't say that sheepishly. I start out with the oldest, and I end up with the youngest. Annika, Eliza, Ariella, Adelina. And by the time I get to the one I need to get, I named all the dogs and all the cats we had. I named everything, every car I owned, until I get to where I need to get. Now, I don't know if that's because of age or because of the older you get, these things happen. But some of us are struck with amnesia. Some of us have selective hearing. We only hear what we want to hear. We only want to hear what we hear in that way. And I thought about that as we look here at the topic in Joshua, that we are brought to remembrance. Now, I'm going to share something with you, if you fit the bill, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it fit your bill. But years ago, I received a memorial card from somebody in the church. And in the card, it says, I'd like to donate this money for this individual and put it where you want to put it. And as I opened the card, there was nothing in the card. They didn't say who they wanted the money to go to. They didn't even sign it. It was just a card, a memorial card that they sent to the church. And I said, okay, I don't know who it's for. I don't know who it goes to. There was no check in there. There was no signature. I didn't know where to go with it. I just threw it away. And I said, that's a lost chance on someone's part who wanted to do something nice. I'm not going to be a detective trying to figure out whose handwriting it is and what town it came from or anything like that. I said, if they left it anonymous, there must have been a reason why. Either they forgot or they just didn't want no one to know about it. But nonetheless, we have times in our lives that things like this happen to all of us. And I don't know if you've ever done that. And if that fits your bill, I'm sorry if I offended you, but these things happen in life. And because of this, we need to be reminded. We need to remember. And then sometimes we need to recommit to certain things. And this is what Joshua is saying here. Sometimes we suffer from selected amnesia. But when it comes to the work and the presence of God in our lives, we need amnesis. I hope I'm saying it right. Anamnesis. I went and looked up that word anamnesis. That word anamnesis means it's a medical term. And this was in my chart. That's why it reminds me. Amnesis, it's a medical term. And what it is, it reviews the entire case history of an individual. It's an anamnesis. It's a document history of an individual. In our faith terms, anamnesis is a deep remembrance of God's salvation history in our soul. And I want to try to bring to your remembrance today your anamnesis. Your anamnesis, which you remember when you got saved, how you live for Jesus, how you're living for Jesus now, and what future you have as you live for Jesus in this life. Joshua recalled the history of their anamnesis, of their, what they went through and what they experienced, and we're going to go over that. Joshua recalled all the history of the children of Israel's relationship with God from the time they left Egypt until the time that they entered into the promised land. Their anamnesis is found here in Joshua chapter 23 and in Joshua chapter 24. Now, I'm going to give you a little remembrance here, okay? We looked in chapter 1, the spirit of courage, how God poured out our hearts to have a courageous spirit as we march forward. In chapter 2, we looked at the legacy of Rahab, how God saved the harlot and her for his glory. In chapter 3, we talked about crossing over the Jordan River, how the Ark of the Covenant or the presence of God makes all the difference in your life. In chapter 4, we talked about the ministry of Gilgal, how the memorial stones speak faith to us today. In chapter 5, we talked about the captain of the hosts of the Lord, how the battle is the Lord's, so rest well. Don't fight a battle that God never intended you to fight. We looked at chapter 6, the walls of Jericho come down. Everyone knows about the walls of Jericho. How faith and obedience and absolute surrender leads you to victory to victory. Chapter 7, we looked at the defeat of AI. And we're not talking about artificial intelligence. We're talking about a town that Joshua went to conquer to as they were going in the land. But yet in the midst of the defeat of AI, we see why they defeated. How Achan revealed to us the weakness of the flesh and the power of God's grace. And we all are going to face AIs in our life. I don't want to preach another sermon here, but we're all going to face AIs in our lives where we are going to be defeated because there's something not right in our life, something not right in our heart, and we have to deal with that. In chapter 9, we talk about the dangers of walking by sight, how the Gibeonites revealed to us that the making of any decisions, we need to ask God about it. Gibeonites means those set apart. So your decisions are set apart because God has allowed your decisions in your life and nobody else. These are decisions that you're going to face, that you're going to be up against. They're set apart for you and only you. And you're the only one with your relationship with God that can go ahead and restore that. In chapter 10, last week, we talked about how big is the God that you serve. Don't we serve a big God? Don't we serve a big God? He's not a small little dinky guy sitting on a footstool. He's a God who reigns and rules over all. And we looked at how having faith in God gives us some important principles to remember our battles. In chapter 11 to 23, I'm not going to take the time to go over that because I would bore you to death. It talks about the allocation of the land, how much land each tribe was going to get. You can read that if you want to go, if you can't sleep at night. You'll read about how much allotment Judah was given, how much allotment Levi or the Levitical tribe, with the lands that they were given, the allotments of the land of Dan, and I won't even start saying them all. I'll mess them up. But you see the allotment and the division of the land, and we see the cities of refuge and the towns that the Levites were sort of set in order. But now as we come to the end of the book of Joshua, lastly, we're going to see Joshua's farewell speech to his people. I want to remind you the theme of Joshua chapter is found in chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's the theme for us today. Don't be discouraged. God is going to go with you everywhere you go. Anything you account or anything you do in life, and he challenges your faith, face you, do it because God is there with you. He doesn't expect you to do it alone. He's never expected to do it alone. Sometimes we come to the place where we say, oh, I guess I got to do this all by myself. No, God never intended you to do life by yourself. He never intended you to face the decisions that you face in life by yourself. He wants to be there with you. So I want to share with you, just like the people of Israel, we are called to, number one, remembrance. Remembrance. In Joshua chapter 17, verse 18, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. This is the children of Israel speaking. This is not Joshua speaking. This is the children of Israel speaking. Sometimes we have to be called to remembrance. Sometimes we have to be reminded. And though that's the next point, but to remember what we said, or maybe the commitments that we made. Joshua started bringing everything that God did for them to their remembrance. Why do we participate in communion once a month? To bring to our what? Remembrance. What God did for us. Joshua is saying to the children of Israel, I want to remind you today what God's done for you. How God brought them through the Jordan River. How God allowed the walls of Jericho to come down. How God helped them to defeat their enemies. And through all these victories and through all these defeats, all Joshua kept on saying to the people, people, do you remember? Do you remember? And we find ourselves constantly battling that in our Christian life. That's a great question. Do you remember? It's a question about legacy, about heroes, about role models. Joshua wanted the children of Israel to know that God was watching over them and that God took care of them and God always made a way for them. And church, I think that's the message we need to hear today. That God is what? Watching over us. He's protecting us. And he's providing a way for us. Joshua said, and I say to you today, do you remember? Don't forget. Don't lose sight of what God's done. When someone calls me up or I'm in counseling with somebody and they say something to me, I said, tell me how you got saved. Tell me what God's done in your life. I try to bring back to the remembrance because they're focusing on the moment and forgetting about the memory of how many times God made a way for them through the wilderness, through the Red Sea, and through everything that they faced in life. You got to call to remembrance once in a while. Don't be foolish to forget about where you come from and what kind of life you lived before you made your decision to serve Christ. Don't forget about your past. Though I don't live in my past is there. I reflect upon it, but I don't live in it. And my past is no indication of what the future that God has for me. My past is my past. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. The enemy would like to try to bring it up. He would like to try to tell me things and to try to hold me back and to condemn me. But I know greater is he who's in me than he that is in the world. I'm saying to you, church, I'm saying, like Joshua said to Israel, Israel, don't forget. Church, don't forget. Don't you forget as a Christian where you come from and what God's brought you through. Remember the legacy of everything that God has done for you. Remember the heroes that God used to deliver you and give you the victory. Remember the role models that God has set up for you to follow. And if you're willing to do that, you're going to have the victory and you're going to keep on pressing on. Don't think this. I don't think those who have gone before us ever really planned on how much their faith would influence ours, but it did. I look at those that were mentors in my life, milestone role models, those that had legacy and that I choose to follow, and I choose to say, I want to be like that. Don't think that those that are going on before you even think that what they're doing means anything. Because they're living their life honoring and pleasing to God. It's you who are watching them that are learning what you need to do and how you need to act. There are many people that God had placed in my life that I used as a role model when I was a young Christian to propel me and to keep on me to keep on going. I remember that I was in Hartford, Connecticut, and when I was in Hartford, Connecticut, I was a youth pastor there, an associate pastor. And Robin and I, we felt the Lord moving us on before we moved on. And I went to my pastor, the pastor that I got saved under, Manzer Wright, I'll say his name. He's dead now. But I remember going to him and say, hey, we really feel the Lord's leaving my wife and I on to do this and do that. And he looked at me and he was honest with me. It hurt me. But he says, John, you're not ready. That hurt me. to say, you're not ready. And I remember going home and I felt betrayed by a guy who I trusted, who was a role model, a guy who poured into my life, a guy who always encouraged me to keep on pressing on, encouraged me to do what I did in ministry and all this stuff. But to say to me at that time in my life in 1988, I was not ready. And I humbled myself before the Lord. I said, God, he must see something that I don't see. And wouldn't you know, the next 2 years, God did a work in my heart, did a work in my wife's life, put us in a position where the pastor of the church that we were under took up the slack of a televangelist around the world who fell into sin, and he became the spokesman for that ministry. He was traveling all over the world. You know what ended up happening? I ended up becoming the pastor of that church. Though I was not the pastor, but I became the pastor of the church because he wasn't around. God prepared me among people that loved me and people that were just there for me. Even all the mistakes I made, all the foolish decisions that I did, yet they were there to give me the support I need. Don't think that the decisions you make today don't affect those that are younger or those that are watching you. They do. They do. And you got to be very careful here because they call to remembrance. It's funny sometimes when I get around my family and I get around my friends, they start reminding me of all the things I used to do. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to remember that. Oh, but it was funny. Yeah, I guess it was funny, but I don't want to remember that. I'm not there anymore. I'm not there anymore. But they're still living in that. We remember the generations of those that have been faithful and sacrificed that brought us through. I remember being in Bible college and coming home during my semesters of in between when they would send you home. And I remember there was a guy in the church that I attended. His name was Bob Larson. He is now dead. But he was a choir director of that church. And him and his wife would come up to me and say, John, we're praying for you. And he would give me a Pentecostal handshake. And those that know what a Pentecostal handshake is, that in that handshake there was some money. There was some money to help you so you can keep on going on. I didn't ask him to do it. I didn't want him to do it. But he did it because he saw what God was doing in my life. He saw what God was doing in my heart. I say to you today, if God ever speaks to you to give somebody a Pentecostal handshake, give them a handshake, bless them. Because maybe they need that encouragement. We don't want to get summed up on just doing that because there's other ways you do things for people. You pray for them. You hold them up. We may not know. When I get to heaven, there might be people in heaven that have prayed for me, that have interceded for me, that I don't even know about to this day. But they're a part of the growth that God has done in my life. They were a part of what God's done in me. That's that heritage. That's that legacy. So I say to you today, build a legacy. Build a heritage. Be a role model. Be an example for those that are either new in the Lord or those that are coming along in God. Just because you think you arrived, they have come not as close as you have, but God wants to use you in what you are. Don't think those who have gone on before us have ever planned on how much their faith would influence ours. Church, we all influence one person or another. But let me go on to my next point. Even more important, do we remember what Christ has done for us? I'm asking you, do you remember what Christ has done for you? He's done for us. Do you remember the cost of salvation, what he did for you on the cross? We're coming up on Easter. We're coming up on Easter. You see the torture. You see what has happened. Not that took place 2,000 years ago, but again, bring back to remembrance once again how he was beaten and brutalized, how he was spit upon and nailed to a cross and hung there and died and then was laid in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, God rose him from the dead. We have to remember his broken body. We have to remember the things that he's done. We remember that Easter morning only because the scripture gives us indication. But let me bring it more home to you today. Do you remember your Easter morning? Do you remember the day that God resurrected you from your dead spiritual body? That God brought salvation to your heart? Do you remember the day that God says that I forgive you and I love you and I accept you for where you are at? That's your Easter morning. That's the morning that you came to life. Some of you, you have a specific date. You'll say September the 9th, 1982. Or you'll say December the 8th, 1942. Others get their own dates out there. But when you got saved, you remember that day. You remember when Jesus came in your heart. He resurrected you. He brought life to a dead being, and now you have a consciousness of what his love is. That's your first Easter. We realize that our sins are forgiven, that we are promised by God to be with us through it all, and that the promise that he gives to all of us that believe on his name is eternal life. Is eternal life. So I ask yourself this one question. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? You only can answer that. I can't. You only can answer that, but how do you want to be remembered? Let me go on to the next one. Remind. Joshua, people was reminded in verses 14 through 16. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Okay? Fear the Lord and serve him with all what? Faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers that worship beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if it's undesirable to you, I hope I'm bringing the desire in your heart today. But if it's undesirable, then choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. We have a choice in this. Don't think that you're saved because God planned for you to be saved. You're saved because you come to a place in your life where you realize you have a need of forgiveness. In God's providence, he knew you were going to make that decision. But in God's provisions and God's protection in our lives, we have to make that choice because we're free will moral agents. I'm not saved because God said I was going to be saved. God knows I was going to get saved. But I'm saved because I realize a need in my life to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I made a choice. God's providence says he knows the choice that I make, but God's provisions is I have to make that choice. It's mine. Just like I can't make choices for you. You have to make your choices. You have to make your decisions. There's consequences that come with our choices. There's consequences that come with our decision. But no matter what, we have to make that choice. Joshua reminded the children of Israel who they are serving before meeting God. Joshua reminded the children of Israel who they are serving before they're meeting God. He brought up the remembrance again. He told them, I'm reminding you how you served the gods of your forefathers, how you served the gods of the land where you lived, how you served the gods of the Amorites. Joshua brought back to the remembrance. He started reminding them once again what God has done for them in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reminded them how Moses and Aaron delivered them from the Egyptians when they were in Egypt bondage. He reminded them to call to the events, the association of the events that took place with them ever since they walked over the Jordan River, and now they're at the place where the land is divided up, allotments were given. They have to choose this day who they're going to serve. Don't forget where you came from. You know, people desire sometimes to go back where they come from. Joshua knew the nature of mankind. Joshua knew it's easy to go back where you come from. But Joshua also knew this, to go on to new lands, new adventures, new homes, a new way of doing things was something new to this generation that has grown up in the desert. Because everyone who lived in the land of Egypt is dead by now. They're dead. So the new people that grew up there in this 40 years, Joshua's reminding all the things that took place, but they're not reminded of that because they never grew up in that. It's like somebody trying to convince me of a TV show that I never watched. You grew up during that time. You know that show. Said, no, sorry. Oh, come on. I can't believe. Well, maybe the area I grew up, the show wasn't welcome, or maybe it wasn't there. I don't know. I don't remember. You can tell me their names. You can tell me what it was all about. I just don't remember. I can't be reminded of that. Joshua could not remind the children of Israel at this time. All he could do is remind them the commitment of their forefathers have made. Joshua reminded the children of Israel of this commitment. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Here's some facts I just want to leave with you today, if I could. When Joshua reminded God's people, he intended for them to make a choice that pertained to the most important relationship of all. It's a relationship with God. My relationship and the most important relationship in my life right now is my relationship with God. The next important relationship in my life is my relationship with my wife. The next important relationship in my life would be number three, is my children. My next relationship in my life is my relationship with my grandkids. I mean, we have to choose the relationships that we get into. My job is not my first priority. You get what I'm saying? My enjoyment is not my first priority. My first priority is my relationship with God. What shall the prophet if a person gains the whole world and loses their whole soul or loses their soul? What does it profit? What does it profit? It profits nothing. Though you do need funds and you do need money to survive, but that should not be your most important and first off relationship. God should be your relationship. And the second fact is this. If they made a wise choice in that basic relationship, they would do well. But if they make a poor choice, all their other relationships in their lives would be affected. I want you to get this because this is a key. If your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with everybody else is not going to be right. It's just not going to be right. You can do everything in your power. You could try to hide things. You could try to cover up things. But if your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with everybody else is going to be affected. Just going to be. Just the way it works. That's what I've learned over the years of being a Christian. That when my relationship is not harmonious with God, and when I'm not right with God, everything else is affected. Do you agree with me? Raise your hand if you agree with me. At least I know I'm preaching to somebody. Right? It affects. It does. Joshua helped them to make a wise choice about nurturing a relationship with God. That's why the church is here. That's why our Sunday school teachers are here. That's why our worship team is here. That's why your board is here. That's why your leaders are here, to nurture that relationship with God, to nurture that relationship that things can get in there and things can make it go amuck and a mire very quickly. You know that as well as I do. But we got to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus. This is what the people of the church should be doing, reminding one another of those promises, reminding one another of their promises. Now, I want you to look around right now. Who normally sits next to you who's not here today? Who normally sits next to you that's not here today? It's your responsibility, I'm going to put it on you, to call them and say, hey, I missed you in church. I missed you in church. Now, why weren't you in church? They don't need that. They need to be loved. They need to know that they were missed. And I'm guilty of this sometimes. I get so busy with that many things that I'm doing that I even forget to do that. But when God reminds me, then I say, okay, Lord, I got to make the call. I got to make the call. And I make the call. Church, we got to remind one another of our covenant with God. We got to remind one another how God has forgiven us. Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 13 says. It says, this is Peter speaking to the church, saying, therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things. Can you imagine that? That you always have to remind somebody of things? They may get to the point of saying, I heard it enough. But yet there's no change. So you keep on reminding them. Make sure you do it in love, not in condemnation. That's what Peter says. Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things. If you've got a call for me and you haven't been in church in a while, this is my spiel that I give. Hey, hello, this is Pastor John. I don't want to pester you. I just want to pastor you. That's what I say to them. I don't want to pester you. I just want to pastor you. Where you been? Is everything all right? Is there something we can pray, be praying about? Something we can do for you? See, this is what the church is about. And that's what Peter's saying here. I'm going to remind you of these things. Though you know them already, because they already know. They know they're not here. They should be here. You get what I'm saying? You know that too. I'm laughing. You know what I mean. And that's what Peter's saying here. Though you know them already. And some people say, yeah, Pastor, I know. But of course, I'm just pastoring them. I'm not pestering them. And then he goes on and says, are established in the truth that you may come to you. I think it right, as long as I'm in the body, to refresh your memory. Refresh it. My wife knows I love her. Not because I said it at the altar, but I tell her every day and every night before I go to sleep. Some of you husbands, some of you wives say, well, they should already know that. No, it doesn't hurt to remind them that. It doesn't. It doesn't hurt for you to tell God, God, I love you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God, you've done so much for me. Lord, I love you. It doesn't hurt to do that to God. Don't think your relationship with God was a one-time experience. It should be an everyday experience. Notice what Peter kept on saying. I intend to keep on reminding you. That's part of the role of God's people, to keep on reminding each other that what God has done for them. Joshua wanted to remind the children of Israel, and so we must do the same. We need that same kind of reminder in our lives all the time. We need that kind of reminder right now while everything around us seems to be so unstable. We need to remind ourselves and others that God is still in control, that God is in charge. Just because times get tough doesn't mean God gave up. Just because times get tough doesn't mean God gave up. And just because times are tough in your life, don't think that you can give up. Because if you love God, God loves you, and he has a way to keep on prodding you on. He has a way to keep on pushing you on. So don't think that. Don't think just because times got tough means God gave up. God doesn't give up on you. Don't give up on him. You may be at your faith's wit's end, but don't be at your faith's end. Don't be at your faith's end. Continue to keep your eyes focused upon him, because he is what? The author and finisher of your faith. God doesn't take vacations. He doesn't. God never takes a vacation. As long as people seek him, he's there. As long as people long for him, he's there. Seek him with all your heart. Seek him with everything within you. Allow him to place the desires of his heart in your heart. And then he will fulfill purposes in your life. The message of Christ to the church today is this. Come to all. He has come to all. Come to all. In other words, Christ is saying, all those that are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. I don't think I wrote that up there right. Is it up there, Colleen? Maybe it's not up there at all. Okay? So the message of Christ, all those that are heavy laden, come to him and he'll give you rest. So we talked about Joshua's people remembering, Joshua's people being reminded. We remember the promises. We remember who and whom we are. You are a child of the King. You're a child of God. Remind each other who we belong to. You're God's child. You belong to God. But in order to remember and to be reminded, in the midst of remembering and reminded, we got to recommit. We got to recommit. That's the last one. We got to recommit. Joshua people recommitted. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. When Joshua gathered the people of Israel for his purpose was to remind them who they are and how they got there, he called them to remembrance what God has done for them, and then Joshua challenged them to recommit their lives to the Lord by saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua's telling them, recommit. Recommit. It is easy to recommit when there is hope, both for the present and for the future. But when people don't have hope for the present or for the future, it's hard for them to recommit. Frederick Buchner wrote these words. Hope stands up to its knees in the past and keeps its eyes on the future. There has never been a time past when God wasn't with us as a strength beyond our strength, the wisdom beyond our wisdom. To remember the past is to see what we are here today, that we're here today by grace, and that we have survived, or that we survived it as a gift. So God gives us that gift. He gives us that grace that we need, that hope. See, that gift of grace, that gift of God's presence is what allows us and calls us and challenges us, like Joshua said to the children of Israel about recommitting our lives to God. In a sense, church, every time we enter through these doors to worship God, we're recommitting our lives to God in worship. Every time we open the Bible, we're recommitting our lives to God by reading the Bible. Every time we bow our head in prayer, we're committing our lives to God. We're recommitting our lives to Him. Every time we gather for fellowship, we're recommitting our lives to one another, but to God. Every time we help a stranger, or we offer forgiveness, or we give a hand to someone else that is in need, we're recommitting ourselves to what God asks us to do. And by recommitting ourselves, God uses us in a greater way. I'm going to put up on the board behind me a picture that I read about this picture and the scenario behind this picture. Some of you might know what this picture is, but it hangs in the Louvre Museum in France. In this museum hangs this picture. It's called Checkmate. Checkmate. And the purpose behind this, the artist drew this picture of Satan and an individual in a chess battle. And the reason why it was called Checkmate, because that person lost to Satan, and it was checkmate, Satan was saying to this individual. As you notice, there's an angel in the picture as well. This tells us that God watches over us. And the whole premise of this picture is to show that sometimes in life, we get in checkmate with Satan. But there was a known chess champion walking through the museum that day, and he stopped at this drawing, or this picture, this painting. And he stood there for a while contemplating it. And he was a chess champion of the world. Don't know his name, but he was a chess champion of the world. And as he stood there looking at the picture, the curator came over to him and said, "What do you find so interesting about this picture?" And the chess champion guy says, "You know I'm the chess champion of the world?" He goes, "Yes, yes, I know." He goes, "But I look at this picture and I want you to know there's one more move. And that move can get the opponent in checkmate." And then the chess champion told the curator, "You need to rename this picture. It should not be checkmate. It should mean one more move, then checkmate." And as I read that, they gave an example of the meaning behind that. The meaning behind that, and the whole thing was, the king had one more move to get the enemy in checkmate. Our king has one more move. He has one more move to get Satan in checkmate in your life. Don't give in to his lies. Don't give up to his lies and what he wants for you. Because the king has one more move. The king has one more move. I don't know where your marriage is. Do you need God to come? Because the king has one more move for your marriage. Is your financials in ruins? Know this, if you turn them over to God, the king has one more move. I don't know if you're having a hard time in your job. You need to know today the king has one more move. When your life belongs to Jesus, he has the final say because he's the king who has the last move. You know, church, that's the beauty of it all. That's the beauty, though. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to leave this picture up. I know we got words that we're going to sing, but I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're up against. Maybe some of you have to literally, verbally say those words. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, if you got kids that are wayward, away from God, know this, the King has one more move. That's the way he works. That's the God in whom we serve. Don't give up on God. Just because it looks like everything is done and finished and you're down for the count. Know this, the King has one more move. Let's pray. Father, as we close our service here today, we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to do something in us that can't be done any other way. It's not the devil's checkmate. In all reality, it's you checking and bringing victory. Checkmate on our enemy. I'm sure saying that day he had you beaten, that day that he had you nailed to a cross, he probably told his imps, "We did it. Checkmate. He's dead. He's in the grave. We won." Maybe his demons were having a party. I don't know. He thought he had checkmate. But on that Sunday morning, when he rose up from the grave, Jesus says, "Checkmate to you, devil. Checkmate to you, death. Checkmate to you, grave." Because he's given the power over death, hell, and the grave. He holds those keys today. I'm going to ask if the board will come up here, and we want to pray for those that feel that your life right now is in checkmate with the devil. I want to encourage you today as your pastor. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over until God comes in and says it's over. And when God says it's over, it means checkmate on the enemy and not checkmate for him. We're going to sing this song. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior, I'm challenging you today. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve yourself? And then for the Christians that are here today that are battling, maybe you're battling with your marriage, maybe you're battling with your finances, maybe you're battling with your job, maybe you're battling with your kids. I don't know what your battles are, but I do know this much. Your battles don't belong to you. They belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord. We're going to stand. We're going to sing this song. If you're in prayer of salvation, come up to any one of us. We'll lead you in prayer. If you just need prayer because you're battling with something and you just need that prayer of faith to be prayed over you and believe that God is going to give you the deliverance, gives you the victory, you come on up as well.